And now, Stein Online presents Mark Stein's Song of the Week.
Hey, welcome along. We're Dixie bound.
Way down upon the Swanee River, far, far away. There's where my heart am turning ever. There's where the old folks stay.
Stephen Foster wrote that song in 1851, and he called it The Old Folks at Home. But over the years, people started referring to it as Way Down Upon the Swanee River, or Swanee River, or Swanee. And its unofficial title was so well known that it started turning up in the lyrics of other songs. For example, Alexander's Ragtime Band.
And if you care to hear the Swanee River played in ragtime,
come on in here,
come on in here,
come on in here,
come on in here, Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Or Rockabye Your Baby.
A million baby kisses I'll deliver if you will only sing the Swanee River. Rockabye, your rockabye baby with a Dixie melody.
So there was a kind of a market for a song called Swanee, because it was already a hit title. And this is the story of how two young men about Tin Pan Alley figured that out. George Gershwin and Irving Caesar. I never met George Gershwin. He died very young in 1937. But I did know the long-lived Irving Caesar. I don't like to think how old Irving Caesar would be now, but he was a mere whippersnapper of 90 when I first encountered him. And he told me how he and George wrote this song way back in 1919. We'll hear that story as he related it to me all the way back in 1985. And as a bonus, I'll throw in the big hit Irving Caesar had on that very 1985 day that he talked to me, because there aren't many people who have a monster smash song in early 1920 and then a bubbling just outside the Billboard Top 10 in the summer of 1985, two-thirds of a century later. But Irving Caesar was in that happy situation. It helps to imagine him as he was through all the years I knew him, lying in his Barker lounger with built-in spittoon, puffing on a big cigar, a happy man, dapper in bow tie and candy-striped blazer, singing his own songs and using the chair's crank mechanism to provide the rhythmic accompaniment, and relating always how he wrote them in 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes. Irving Caesar.
July the 4th this year, American Independence Day, appropriately enough, one of the grand old men of American popular song celebrated his 90th birthday. Irving Caesar, born in 1895 on the Lower East Side, and almost as old as the music industry itself. He's still a working songwriter, though, and I went along to his offices on 7th Avenue to take him back 67 years and his first big hit, written with his young composing partner, George Gershwin.
There was a big hit at the time. They used to call them instrumentals, you know. The lyrics didn't count for much, but it was a very big hit, a reigning hit. And it was selling at 30 cents. In those days, there was 10 cent music and 30 cent music. And the name of the song was Hindustan. Hindustan. Where I came to rest my tired caravan, a one step. Well, anyone can dance, can do one step. And George and I, we were very young then, we had written our first song, You, Just You, which was in Miss 1917. So I said to George, we were at Ninting Moore's, I said, why don't we write an American one step, George? Why can't we write an American one step? instead of Hindustan. It's such a hit. So we got on the bus, went up to his home, and there was a little piano room with the traditional beaded curtain, and on the other side there was a dining room. His family was playing poker with some cousins, his father. I say that because I'll get to it in a minute. And in about 15 minutes, we wrote Swanee. George started out with the introduction, yum, da 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 da, and I started singing with him. I've been away from you. Never stopped until the song was finished. And the poker players kept saying, boys, you'll finish it some other time. The losers and the winners, I remember this very well, said, let them finish it tonight. It doesn't hurt you if the boys are not hurting us. And George's father disappeared. He was a little man. The Gersons were not poor even then, you know. They owned one or two restaurants. George's father, a sweet little man, he disappeared in the bathroom and emerged with a comb with tissue paper over it. And he said to George, George, I like it, play it again. And that was the first instrumentation. And the old man accompanied us on his comb and the tissue paper. I remember that as though it happened yesterday. Well, all right. Now we've got Swanee. What to do with it? Naturally, you think of Jolson, but you can't get to Jolson. Jolson didn't know George. He hardly knew me. He knew me a little bit. I had written a song from about a parody. And he met me for 5 minutes when I was going to City College. I was only, what, 18 then. It was during World War I. He was singing a song called, I think it was an English song, Sister Susie sewing shirts for soldiers, such skill at sewing soldiers' shirts, our sister, so on. And he wanted parodies, you know, with other consonants. So I wrote Brother Benny's Baking Buns for Belgians. And he pinched my cheek when he sent for me, and that was my only contact with him. And one night, he decided to give a party at Bessie Bloodgood's whorehouse, fast house. It was the best in New York.
The best whorehouse in New York.
That's right. The most highest price.
Oh, right.
No, yes. Very, very soigné. I didn't get in on that residual. But Buddy De Silva, who was a great songwriter and wrote with George Sidon, and whom Jolson loved, was invited to the party, and Buddy suggested that he have George there. He said, Gershwin is a great pianist, and Jolson never heard him. And so at this party, Buddy very generously said to Al, you know, George has a great song with Irving, and my name is Isidore then, Isidore Caesar. You already hear it, Al, you might like it. And Al said, play it for me. And Jolson was carried away with it. He turned to his musical director and he said, I'll bring that in next Tuesday. The party, say, was on a Thursday evening after the show, Friday evening. Well, he broke it in next Tuesday in the Winter Garden, and within 10 days, orders came in from all over the country. And they heard the song in the Winter Garden. They went back to their respective towns, and they said to the music dealer, hey, that's Brother Jocelyn, sing a song, something about Swanee River. Jocelyn, Al Jocelyn, I'd like to get me a copy of that.
I've been away from you a long time. I never thought I'd miss you so. Somehow I feel your love is real. Near you I want to be. The birds are singing, it is song time. The banjo's strumming soft and low. I know that you yearn for me too. Swanee, you're calling me. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in D-I-X. I even know my mammy waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore. I love the old folks at home. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee.
Swanee. I give the world to be among the folks in D-I-X-I, even though my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore.
I'd like to talk now, because of course we went back to Swanee, which
is
1918, but of course now, right now in 1985, another song of yours has come back again and is enjoying a successful revival.
In England too?
Yes, as well, in England too. We've been, in fact, it's been...
You mean Just a Gigolo?
Yes, and it's been on the BBC an awful lot recently.
Yeah,
as
I
well.
Know, it's doing very well. It's sold over a million records to date.
Really?
Yeah, fellas up me on the street from another publisher, and he said, congratulations, Irving. I'll tell you a story about that. Just a Gigolo, of course, was a song, a European song. And the publisher called me up and said, would you write an American lyric for it? This was the early days of radio. And even the word gigolo was taboo. You know, in the early days of radio, they were afraid of anything. Well, I must have written about six lyrics for that until they finally accepted it. And I think my lyric is a good one, especially when I kill them off. There will come a day, youth will pass away, then what will they say about me? When my end comes, I know, they'll say just a gigolo. As life goes on, I have to feed them without me. And so Bing Crosby made a record of it at the time. But that was the problem, though. I feel a little... not embarrassed. It wasn't my original idea to write a song about a gigolo.
Yes.
They brought me the song. It was, I think, a French or a German song.
I think
it's
German.
German.
Schöne gigolo.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. They brought it to me, and they translated it, and you'll find that their lyric is nothing like mine.
Yes. But of course, I mean, the trick is, in those days, you had to write a song about a gigolo without actually being able to describe what a gigolo does.
That's
it?
Right. It was in a Paris cafe that first I saw. He was a soldier, a veteran soldier of the war. A few medals on him, I described him.
Was in a Paris cafe that first I found him. He was a Frenchman, a hero of the war. But war was over, and here's how peace had crowned him. A few cheap medals to wear and nothing more. Now every night in this same cafe he shows up, and as he strolls by, ladies hear him say, if you admire me, hire me. A gigolo knew a better day.
He says, if you admire me, hire me. A gigolo who's known a better day. I'm just a gigolo, everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. It's a good lyric.
Just a gigolo, everywhere I go, People know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling each romance, every night some heart betrayed. There will come a day, youth will pass away, then what will they say about me? When the end comes, I know they'll say just a gigolo. As life goes on without me.
First published in Vienna, music by an Italian composer, Leonello Casucci, with original German text by an Austrian librettist, Julius Brammer, and English words by Irving Caesar. That record is early Bing Crosby at his very best. And as much as I was happy for Irving Caesar's unexpected return to the top 20 with that song in 1985, I loathe that 80s version of Just a Gigolo by David Lee Roth of the rock group Van Halen. David Lee Roth's so-called interpretation appropriates note for note a famous Sam Butera arrangement of Just a Gigolo for Louis Prima. It's legally a grey area, but we're not talking law so much as a more basic understanding of creativity and integrity. In essence, David Lee Roth decided to launch his solo career with an act of karaoke, and dismal, witless karaoke with no point of view on the material at that. And not only did he lift another guy's arrangement, but he couldn't understand why Sam Butera would be miffed about it. One night, while Butera and his group, The Witnesses, were playing in Vegas, Roth swung by to catch the act and afterwards hailed Butera with a cheery, "Hey, Sam! Who are you?" asked the great man. "I'm David Lee Roth," replied the rocker. "Then where's my money?" said Sam. He never got it. Here's Sam Butera's famous take on Irving Caesar's song with him on sax, Louis Prima on vocals.
And just a gigolo, and everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling each romance. Oh, what they say. There will come a day, and youth will pass away. What will they say about me? When the end comes, I know they'll say just a gigolo. Life goes on without me. And just a gigolo, everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling each romance. Oh, what they say. And there will come a day, and youth will pass away. What will they say about me? When the end comes, I know they'll say just a gigolo. Life goes on without me.
I enjoyed Irving Caesar's company so much, watching him rocking back and forth in his Barker lounger, arms outstretched like Jolson, and enjoying his own lyrics as if he'd never heard them before. Some years later, he kind of sort of implied to me that he wrote most of the tune for Swanee rather than George Gershwin.
You know, as he always used to say when you said what comes first, the words or the music, he said he wrote all his songs in 2, 3, 4 minutes, and they were generally round the piano like that with George Gershwin. And he always used to say, when it's all happening that fast, who knows who does what to whom when. And it doesn't sound like a Gershwin tune, and I could well believe that a big bunch of its energy comes from Irving Caesar just sort of pounding it out, standing alongside George at the piano there. At the time, they were like most New York songwriters of the time. They wrote songs about all these other places in America and that they'd never been to. Because in those days, the songwriting industry was mostly in New York, and most of those guys had never been south of Canal Street, never mind to the Swanee River. And those 2 had certainly never been to Florida. And a couple of years after, it became a huge, huge hit, that song. George Gershwin and Irving Caesar took a trip to Florida on a train. And as they were crossing the border from Georgia into Florida, the conductor or the porter or whoever it was said to them, hey, boys, there's that river you wrote about. And so they looked out the window and there was this kind of dreary, muddy little stream. And Irving said to George, it's a good thing we wrote the song first.
I love the old folk at home. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I give the world to be among the folks in V-I-X-I, even though my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore.
Al Jolson on that Swanee shore. And regardless of who did what to whom when, that is a song of unique propulsive energy. Oh, mammy! I may have to lie down in a darkened room. See you next time.
Mark Stein's Song of the Week is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises. All rights reserved.